ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 6, chapter 16, text 57. Chapter 16 is entitled, King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text 57. Yat deho mrite mritihe, yat eta vishra mritam pumsho, madbhavam binam atmanaha, tata samsara etasya deha deho mrite mritihi yareta. Word for word translation. Yat. Translation and purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When a living entity thinking himself different from me forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, his material conditional life begins. In other words, instead of identifying his interest with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions, like his wife, children, and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. So Prabhupada's purport. Generally, the Mayavad philosophers or persons influenced by Mayavad philosophers think themselves as guru, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the cause of their conditional life, as stated by the Vaishnav poet Jagannanda Pandit in his Prema Vivarta. Krishna Bahimukha Hanaboga Vancha Kare Nikantasta Maya Tare Japatiya Dare. As soon as a living entity forgets his constitutional position and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, his conditional life begins. The conception that the Supreme Brahman and the living entity are equal, not only in quality, but also in quantity, is a cause of conditional life. If one forgets the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, his conditional life begins. Conditional life means giving up one body to accept another, and undergoing death to accept death again. The Mayavad philosopher teaches the philosophy of Tat Tvam Asi, saying, "You are the same as God." He forgets that Tat Tvam Asi applies in terms of the marginal position of the living entity, who is like sunshine. There is heat and light in the sun, and there is heat and light in the sunshine. And thus, they are qualitatively one. But one should not forget that the sunshine rests on the sun. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the original source of Brahman. The sunshine is important because of the presence of the sun globe. It is not that the sun globe is important because of the all-pervasiveness of the sunshine. Forgetfulness and misunderstanding of this fact is called Maya. Because of forgetfulness of one's constitutional position and that of the Supreme Lord, one comes into Maya or samsara, conditional life. In this regard, Madhvacharya says, Sarvabhinam paramat manam vish smaram smaret iha abhinam samsaranam yati tamo nasti atra samsayaha. When one thinks that a living entity is non-different in all respects from the Supreme Lord, there is no doubt that he is in ignorance.
Hare Krishna.
When a living entity, thinking himself different from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me, in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, his material, conditional life begins. In other words, instead of identifying his interest with me, with mine, he becomes interested in his material expansions, like his wife, children, and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. So this is a very wonderful verse talking about how the living entity becomes conditioned in this material world. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has expatiated so much about the danger of Mayavat philosophy. It says that generally the Mayavat philosophers, or persons influenced by Mayavat philosophers, think themselves as guru as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he said this is the cause of their conditional life. So Mayavat philosophy is so very dangerous in the practice of bhakti, in the practice of Krishna consciousness, that we see that the great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada never spared a moment in smashing the Mayavat philosophers and their philosophy. Similarly, we see in the life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, the spiritual master of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that he never spared the Mayavadis. Why? Because Mayavad philosophy is so poisonous, it's so dangerous, that just by hearing them once, immediately, one can lose his focus in devotional service. So therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never ever gave any Mayavat philosopher any breathing space. It is actually said that when the Mayavadis see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami coming on the road, they would cross the road to the other side. Because it is said that he carried the scriptures, the shastra, in one hand, and the other hand he carried a club. So the shastra was for the devotees, and the club was for the Mayavadis. So any time he encountered a Mayavad, he would just smash him on the head with his club. So it is said that the Mayavadis, when they see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami coming on the road, they will avoid him completely because they did not want to be smashed on their heads. Similarly, we hear of the great acharyas like Ramanuja Acharya. Ramanuja Acharya, who appeared in South India, somewhere very close to Chennai, between Chennai and Kanchipuram. There's a village where Sri Ramanuja Acharya took his divine birth. And from his very beginning of life, he was very, very inclined to smashing the philosophy of the Mayavads. So much so that he decided to study under a Mayavad guru called Yadava Prakash. Ramanuja Acharya studied under him, not because he was interested in Mayavad philosophy, not because he enjoyed Mayavad philosophy, but because he wanted to understand it properly so that he can smash it to pieces. So he studied under this Mayavad guru, Yadava Prakash, and after he had understood the philosophy of the Mayavads, he began to argue very strongly with his guru. And always refuting all the principles of Mayavad philosophy. It is said that he so embarrassed his guru, Yadav Prakash, so much so that Yadav Prakash started planning how to murder Ramanuja Acharya. He was always embarrassing him and humiliating him in philosophy, with a personal philosophy, theistic philosophy, that Yadav could not take it. And so he started planning how to eliminate Ramanuja Acharya. And when that failed, he expelled him from the ashram. He could not contain him anymore because it was too humiliating. However, it is said that later that Yadav Prakash met one of the very brilliant disciples of Ramanuja Acharya by name Kuresh. Kuresh had such photographic intelligence, photographic memory, that he could quote the Shrutis very profusely. And in this way, he was able to convince Yadav Prakash the importance of accepting Brahman as having form and qualities. So, even though he expelled Ramanuja Acharya from his ashram, but somehow, again, he came across a disciple of Ramanuja Acharya who convinced him to accept the absolute truth as having form and qualities. Another person that we need to remember is also Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya was a very, very powerful personality. He was so powerful that at the age of 5, he took Diksha from his Guru Maharaj. And then at the age of 12, he took sannyas and renounced home. So his whole mission in life was to defeat and dismantle the philosophy of Sankaracharya. Sankaracharya had appeared earlier and traveled the breadth and length of India spreading this very poisonous, this very dangerous philosophy of Mayavad, and converting everyone into this Mayavad philosophy. So Madhvacharya's mission was to fight and defeat the Sankracharya's Mayavad philosophy by giving the pure interpretation of the Vedanta Sutras. So, it is said that he propounded from the after studying the Shastras, he propounded the Dvaita Vada philosophy of dualism. The Mayavadis, they preach monism, that a living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one in every aspect, that there is no difference between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is very, very dangerous. This is not acceptable by the Vaishnavas. This is not acceptable by any theistic philosopher. So, Madhvacharya, his mission was to establish that even though the living entity is qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is quantitatively different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, he studied the scriptures and came up with this wonderful philosophy of dualism, that a living entity is different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also had a desire of meeting Srila Vyasadeva. So it is said that Madhvacharya woke up the whole Himalayas with the hope of meeting Srila Vyasadeva. And when Srila Vyasadeva saw the desire of this great personality, he at once gave darshan to Srila Madhvacharya. Not only that, he also gave Srila Madhvacharya a very special gift. He gave him a Shalagrama Shila, which is called the Astamurti, and also gave approval to the commentary of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita that he had compiled. And also, he blessed Srila Madhvacharya with deep, deep realizations of the Shastras. And so, Srila Madhvacharya traveled the breadth and length of India, defeating the Jains, defeating the Buddhists, defeating all the Mayavads, and all kinds of philosophers that did not go in line with the Vaishnav Siddhanta. So this way, Srila Madhvacharya established the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, it is said that his philosophy that he has established is in line with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings of Beda Beda Tattva, oneness and difference of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, his philosophy is summarized in 9 principles, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has stated that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked all the followers of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy to carefully study these 9 principles of Srila Madhvacharya, because it establishes the position of this living entity as well as the supreme position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what are those principles? 1, that Bhagavan Sri Krishna alone is the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Absolute Truth, without a second. 2, that he is the object of knowledge in all the Vedas. 3, that the universe is real, satya. 4, that the differences between Ishwara, Jiva, and matter is real. 5, that Jivas are by nature the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari. 6, that there are two categories of Jivas, Nitya Siddhas and Nitya Badas. There is the liberated souls and the conditioned souls. 7, that liberation or moksha means attaining the lotus seat of Sri Bhagavan Krishna, or eternally engaging in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 8, the pure devotional service to Krishna is the only way to attain liberation. And 9, that truth may be known by 3 methods: pratyaksha, which means direct perception; anuman, which means inference or logic; and sabda, which means spiritual sound vibration or the Vedic authority. In this way, Śrīla Madhvācārya established the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our philosophy of the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya is based on these 9 principles of Śrīla Madhvācārya. So also, we see in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahāprabhu that there was one devotee called Mukundadatta. This Mukundadatta was Nimai's classmate. He was a schoolmate in the school of Ganga Acharya. And he had such a sweet voice that he used to sing very nice melodious songs for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. And he knew the intricacies of all musical meters and ragas. And he knew how to sing very sweetly to please Sri Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya was taking his sannyas in Katwa, it was in the midst of Mukundadatta's sweet melodious kirtan that Lord Chaitanya took his sannyas. But some incident happened in the Srivas Angam, in the courtyard of Srivas. One day, Lord Chaitanya was blessing all the devotees in Srivas Thakur's house. But he ignored Mukundadatta. So, because Mukundadatta has offended Bhakti Devi, it is said that Mukundadatta, when he meets devotees, he will speak about Bhakti. When he meets a karmis, he will engage in arguing about unnecessary material subject matter. When he meets the Mayavadis, he will engage in impersonal philosophy, discussing impersonal philosophy. And this way, Mukunda offended Bhakti Devi. And because of this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was blessing all the devotees very profusely, he ignored Mukundadatta. So, Mukundadatta decided to commit suicide. And that is how serious it is to engage in speaking Mayavad philosophy or hearing Mayavad philosophy. Mukundadatta had to commit suicide. His option was to commit suicide. So, but before he did that, he asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whether there is any chance of his getting his mercy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that yes, after 1,000,000 births, after 1,000,000 births, you will get my mercy. And when Mukunda Datta heard this, he started dancing very aesthetically to the surprise of everyone. So Mahaprabhu heart melted and he said that because you have such faith and conviction in my words, your offenses are absolved, your offenses are forgiven. And so he blessed Mukunda Datta. So from this pastime we can understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hated to hear about Mayavad philosophy and what to speak of his devotees discussing Mayavad philosophy. So we see in the purport that Srila Prabhupada is hitting very hard that Mayavad philosophers and people who are influenced by Mayavad philosophy, they misunderstand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, their material existence begin. So, it should be understood that the Mayavad philosophy is poisonous. And when the living entity hears it and begins to equate himself with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Bhakti Lata beach and the heart of the living entity becomes dried up. And immediately, Bhakti Devi leaves such a heart. And so the living entity falls down from his spiritual position. He falls down into material existence. And when he falls into material existence, then what happens? Ananta Dev is describing that here in this verse. It says, when a living entity thinking himself different from me, he forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and his material condition, not life, begins. In other words, instead of identifying his interest with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions like his wife, children, material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. So this is what happens when a living entity loses his understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or when a living entity misunderstands his spiritual identity with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and starts thinking that he is equal to the Supreme Lord in every aspect. So, Srila Prabhupada has summarized the whole thing in this short verse. In this short statement. So because of the forgetfulness of one's constitutional position and that of the Supreme Lord, one comes into Maya or samsara. That as soon as a living entity forgets his constitutional position of oneness, and thinks is equal to the Supreme Lord, immediately he falls into Maya. Samsara, the cycle of birth and death, begins. And when the cycle of birth and death begins, then one begins to identify with his body, one begins to identify with the expansions of his body, and he begins to act for the pleasure of his body and for the expansions of his body. And this way, his material existence is perpetuated. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, Krishna mentions Karya Karna Kartitve, that the material nature is the cause of the material causes, but a living entity is responsible for his pleasures and pains, his pleasures, his suffering, his happiness and suffering in this material world. Karya karana kartitve hetu prakriti uchate. The nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas a living entity is the cause of his happiness and suffering in this material world. So as soon as a living entity forgets his position as a servant of the Supreme Lord and starts thinking of himself as an enjoyer of the material world, of the material energy, then his activities will cause his material existence to perpetuate. So therefore, Muchukunda, a great devotee of the Lord, has this prayer. When Muchukunda was sleeping in the cave after he had been given the boon by the demigods, he had helped the demigods to fight against the demons, and he was very tired. So the demigods gave him a boon to sleep unlimitedly so that he could rest. So while he was sleeping in this cave, this great demon Kalayavan attacked Mathura, and Krishna did not want to fight with him. Krishna left Mathura without a weapon and started walking away. And this great demon Kalayavan started chasing Krishna, thinking that Krishna was afraid of him. So, and Krishna started moving ahead of him, and this demon started pursuing Krishna. And Krishna entered the cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. And this demon also followed Krishna into the cave. And Krishna suddenly disappeared from the vision of Kalayavan. And Kalayavan did not see that, he did not see that Krishna disappeared. He thought that was Krishna lying down there. And so he angrily kicked this sleeping person, Muchukunda, and woke him up from his sleep. And as soon as Muchukunda woke up from his sleep, he was so angry because part of the goon was anybody who woke him up untimely was to be burnt into ashes by his eyes. And so immediately, Kalayavan was destroyed by the fiery eyes of Muchukunda. And then Muchukunda started looking around to see who has caused his awakening. And then he saw the Lord. And then Muchukunda started asking the Lord, "Who are you? Why have you come here?" And when he got to know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was in the cave with him, he started offering some wonderful prayers. And one of these prayers is, Vimuhiti Yam Jana Isha Mayaya. He says that, "O Lord, the people of this world, both men and women, are bewildered by your illusory energy. Being unaware of their real benefit, they do not worship you, but instead seek material happiness by entangling themselves in family affairs, which are actually sources of misery. They are foolishly attached to so-called society and friendship, which merely produces different kinds of miseries. Illusioned by your external energy, everyone, whether man or woman, is attached to this material existence, and all are engaged in cheating one another in this great society of the cheaters and the cheated. These foolish persons, not knowing how fortunate they are to have attained this human form of life, are reluctant to worship your lotus feet. By the influence of your external energy, they are attached to the glare of material activities. like dumb animals that are falling into a dark world. So in this way, Muchikunda describes the condition of the living entity in this material world. Once we have forgotten our spiritual position, once we have begun to think that we are also enjoyers of this material energy, we are the loss of all that we survey, then our suffering begins. And the material world is no better place than a place of the cheated, the cheaters, and the cheated. That is all what is found in this world. There is a story of Akbar the Great. Srila Prabhupada always quoted Akbar many times. Akbar the Great was strolling one morning with his advisor, Birbal, and one poor, smarter Brahmana approached Akbar the Great and said, "My dear Akbar, I'm a very poor Brahmana, and my daughter is just of a marriageable age, and my duty as a responsible father is to ensure that my daughter is given a very befitting marriage. But unfortunately, I have no money, and to give this befitting marriage to my dowry to my daughter is my anxiety. If you can engage me, if you can give me some service, so that you can give me some money at the end of the service, then I can give a very befitting dowry to my daughter. And besides, I have to feed a lot of people with sumptuous prasadam, sumptuous food during the wedding." And then Akbar said, "My dear poor Brahmana, if you have no money, why do you want to undergo such a difficult task?" He said, "Well, I'm the father of this girl, and my duty as a responsible father is to make sure my daughter is properly married. So if you can give me some job, some work, I can do and I can be paid." So immediately Akbar said, "All right, I'll give you a job. You see that lake there? It was during the winter season, and the weather was very, very chilly, very cold. Akbar said, "All right, if you can stay inside that water, that cold water, from now till the next morning, I will give you 1,000 gold coins." So this smarter Brahmana was very excited that he's going to get 1,000 gold coins to pay off his daughter's dowry. So Akbar asked his bodyguards to escort the man, the Brahmana, into the water and watch him all night so he doesn't sneak out and go warm himself somewhere and come back. So the Brahmana was excited, so he stayed in the water, and then watching the lights on the palace, he stayed inside the cold water all night, and the next morning he came out of the water. Actually, Birbal was thinking that this was too much of the king. Why should he subject the Brahmana to such a serious punishment? Simply because he wanted some money. So anyway, he survived the cold. And then when he came out of the water, Akbar asked him, "How do you survive this cold? I was thinking that you were going to die, but now you have come out. Please tell me how you survived this cold." And the poor Brahmana told him that it was due to determination. That I was so determined to get the 1,000 gold coins that I remained alive. And Akbar wasn't satisfied. He said, no. Tell me how you survive staying inside that water all night." And the Brahmana said, "All right. I was looking at the light at the palace gate. And because I was meditating, I was concentrating on the light at the palace gate, I was able to sustain myself in the water." Then Akbar said, "All right. Oh, you were watching my light, and you gained some warmth from my light. Therefore, you did not perform any work, and therefore, I will not pay you the 1,000 gold coins. So go home." And the Brahmin was so disappointed. So this is the society of the cheaters and the cheated. He was thinking he would get 1,000 gold coins by staying in the water and watching the palace light, But after he did that, the king did not give him his 1,000 gold coins. Of course, Birbal was very intelligent advisor to the king, and he was thinking how he could teach the king a lesson. So immediately, he invited the king to his house for a lunch of kichidis. And when the king came, he did not give the king any water. He asked him to wait. He was cooking the kichidis in his garden. And what did Birbal do? He hung the pot of kichidis high up, about 10 yards away from the ground, and he set the fire under the pot. And the king was waiting for the kichidis. He was waiting for the kichidis. He was not getting his kichidis. So he got very angry and asked the servants of Birbal, "Where is your man?" They said he was in the garden cooking. He said, "Take me there." And when he got there, he saw that the fire was so far away from the pot. So he asked Birbal, "What are you doing? What are you trying to do here?" He said, "I'm cooking the kichidis." "So you're cooking the kichidis very far away from the fire? How can it be done?" He said, "Yes, it will be done. Just wait." And the king said, "That is impossible." And he said, "So when the Brahmana stood in the water overnight in the cold and was watching your palace light, you told him he did not perform any work. So if the light was 100 yards away and he could get a warmth from that light, then why is it not possible? How is it not possible that this 10 yards distance, I cannot cook my kichiris from there? Just wait, it will be done." And the king said, "My friend, forget about this. This is not possible." But at least he got a message that he did not do any justice to the Brahmana. And so he said, "Now Birbal understood your lesson. I will give your Brahmana 2,000 gold coins." And this way, the Brahmana got his 2,000 gold coins and was able to dowry his daughter and became very happy. So, but this is material life. Material life means performing all kinds of austerities, standing in cold water just to get some gold coins to dowry a daughter. So we should understand our position that we are eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, just like two great devotees, Bahulaswar and Srutadev, who were in the city of Mithila, they were able to attract Krishna to go to Mithila to give them his wonderful association, and they were so happy that the Lord came to see them. So if we engage in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will be attracted towards us, and he will save us from all this miserable material situation. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.